Rosh Hashanah Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Now, the end of the previous Mishnah was about people having kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. And this Mishnah, in a very unusual way, at least for Mishnayos, is going to go off the subject and have kind of an agada about how one should always have the proper kavana. And so it's not the standard kind of direct halachic Mishnah we've been doing, but interesting nonetheless. It says in the Pasuk, in Bishalach, at the end, when it's talking about the battle with Amalek, it says, V'hoya kasher yorim Moshe yado v'govar Yisrael. And it says, when Moshe raised up his hands, that Klal Yisrael was beating Amalek and winning the battle. But v'chasher yoniach yado, when Moshe lowered his hands, then the govar Amalek. So the Mishnah immediately asks, the chiyad of Moshe osos mechama or shovers mechama. Really, is it Moshe's hands that won the battle or lost the battle against Amalek? This would be a very un-Jewish idea that somehow there's some magical power that's going to make you win a battle or not. Not only that, if it is totally dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu, why would he have ever lowered his hands? No matter how exhausted he was, Moshe loved the Jewish people so much, he never would have lowered his hands if they had some kind of power to win the battle. El Olomer Lach, what this teaches you, says the Mishnah, is Kol Zman Yisrael Mistaklim Klapei Milo. As long as the Jews were looking up at his hands, they were looking up at Shomayim. And so, in such a situation, U'mishabden eslibon labiyam Shabbat Shomayim. They subjected their hearts to their father in Shomayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning they're looking up and they're concentrating on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they're looking up to Shomayim. Then, Hayum Isgabrim, they would win the battle. They would prevail. Bimlav Hayunoflim. But if they were not looking up at Moshe's hands, and they were instead looking down, then they're not thinking about Shomayim, they're not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they would lose the chance at victory, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's winning the battle, and Amalek would prevail. Some say that Moshe's hands wasn't a signal to Klal Yisrael, but it was a reflection of where Klal Yisrael's heads were at that time. Kayotze b'davarata Omer, in a similar manner, you can also say from Bamidbar. It says at one point, Aseh lecha sarav. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that the Jews at this point were losing faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're complaining that they're hungry, they're complaining that they're thirsty, they're talking about the man without any kind of appreciation. And so in this situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make Aseh lecha sarof, a fiery snake, and v'simoso al nes, and put it on a pole. V'haya kol anoshuch v'ra'o oso v'choy. And anyone who was bitten by the snakes that Hashem sent against Klal Yisrael, poisonous snakes that were biting Klal Yisrael indiscriminately, would look upon the snake and they would survive. The snake was made out of brass, this fiery snake, and put on a pole where everybody could see it. V'chinachash memis onachas mechaya. Really, was it this brass serpent that killed these people who were bitten by snakes, or the brass serpent that gave life to them? It seems highly unlikely. When the Jews were looking up at this form of a serpent, and they subjected their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shomayim, then they were healed. But if they weren't looking up, and they were instead looking down and looking at the snakes and jumping up and down as the snakes came to bite them, so they weren't really paying attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the source of the healing that, of course, they needed. And so, as a result, then they died. Cheresh Shot V'Katan says the last clause in the mission now, a halacha. A cheresh, a deaf person, who, in this case, maybe he can speak, but he's deaf. So we're talking about shofar and megillah, mitzvahs which are about hearing, and he can't. Shote, an imbecile, a person who is not in his right mind mentally. The katan, and a boy under the age of 13. Ein motzi en asarabi dechovasan. They cannot be motzi, the tzibur, their own chova of hearing the shofar. Zeha klal, and this is general rule. Kol she'en a mechuyev bedavar, anybody who's not mechuyev in something, he can't be motzi the rabbim in their requirement, because this person is not obligated, and so he can't help somebody else fulfill his obligation. The Gemara says this refers at least to somebody who was never obligated in the first place. A katan was never an adult, so he's never had the obligation. A deaf person who's deaf since birth doesn't have the obligation to hear the kol shofar. But somebody who, for example, is a hearing person or who was an adult and already was yotzei the mitzvah, he can be motzi other people the mitzvah even though his personal obligation isn't on right now. So mitzvahs, for example, we've seen on Shabbos, somebody makes kiddush. I don't know, it's some big fancy kiddush where he makes kiddush for himself and starts in, and then his wife and kids come half an hour later. If he is still compos mentis and can then make kiddush for them, that is great, and he can go right ahead and do so. Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph. Yontav Shal Rosh Hashanah Shachal Lios B'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. This is going to impact shofar blowing. By Mikdash Hayutokim. In the Beis HaMikdash, they blew the shofar anyway. Not in the city of Yerushalayim, and certainly not afterwards, although the Rambam holds that Yerushalayim is included in the word Mikdash here. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew the shofar. Avaloba Medina. But not out in the Medina, out in the provinces. According to most Rishonim, this includes the city of Yerushalayim. The Rambam holds Yerushalayim as Mikdash, so provinces means outside Yerushalayim. What is the chiluk? Why is it such a big deal not to blow shofar on Shabbos? The Chachamim were gozer that because people are so eager to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, they're going to take their shofar maybe to go learn how to blow correctly, and they're going to carry it in public in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and so they're going to be over the Oraisa in their eagerness to make sure they get the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Hiskin Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiyu Tokin B'chol Mokom Shiyesh Bo Bezdin. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and so the Beis HaMikdash dispensation no longer existed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted a rule that they would blow the shofar anywhere where there is a Bezdin. They weren't worried anymore that somebody was going to carry the shofar on Shabbos, because everybody who is getting ready for shofar will say to them, oh, don't forget it's Shabbos, so don't carry your shofar anyway, just go to shul, and there they're going to blow the shofar. And the Gemara brings down a braisa that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one Rosh Hashanah, it fell on Shabbos, and all the towns came together to Yavneh to hear the shofar. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Bnei Beseira, who were the greatest Talmid Chachamim of that time, let's blow the shofar, because everybody's coming here to hear it. They said to him, well, aren't we worried people are going to carry? And he said to them, let's blow the shofar, and then we'll discuss whether people are going to carry or not. But right now you got a huge crowd here. Everybody wants to hear the shofar. And then after they blew it, they went to him and talked to him, and he said, too bad. Once we already blew it in Yavneh, then you can't go back anymore. So he, in a way, in a manner of speaking, he kind of tricked them. He had them blow the shofar so they wouldn't disappoint the crowd. And then after they blew the shofar, he said, well, we can't undo it, so we'll keep blowing the shofar. On Rabbi Elazar, Lo Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Elo B'Yavneh Bulvad. But Rabbi Elazar would say later on, in later generations, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's halacha that you blow on Shabbos was only in Yavneh alone. In front of the Bezdin meant in front of the great Sanhedrin, which at that time was in Yavneh. But nowhere else would you be able to blow it on Shabbos. Amrulo, so they said to Rabbi Elazar, Echad Yavneh, the Echad Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Bezdin. Yavneh and any other place where there is a Bezdin as well, as long as it's like the Bezdin at Yavneh in terms of prominence. It has to be in one permanent place, like the Bezdin at Yavneh was. It has to be a major Bezdin, like Yavneh was. And so the shofar is blown in a place of a major Bezdin like Yavneh. According to the other Tana, it could be that they even would blow it in a place with a temporary Bezdin that was only housing the major Bezdin for a little while. In the times of the Romans, the Bezdin moved from place to place on a relatively frequent basis because of the instability facing the Jews in Eretz Yisrael at that time.